Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
There is developing news I'm going to bring to you very, very shortly in the fragrance world. I have it's come across my desk that a TW32 may be in the works, and we might have the exclusive announcement out of 7:30. But right now, the big news yesterday was the AFL, I don't think it was a great surprise, announced the mandatory vaccination policy for both AFL and AFLW players. I don't envisage this being a massive issue. I don't think Paul Marsh has either. He thinks there's overwhelming support from both playing bodies. He's been good enough to jump on and just talk us through this. Paul, welcome. Was it a big issue trying to push this through both playing bodies?
Morning, guys. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a big issue pushing it through. It has been a complex issue to work through. And obviously we've had some significant moving pieces, particularly with the government positions, both in Victoria and outside of Victoria. But, you know, we worked through it pretty well, and I think where we've landed is a fair policy for players in the industry.
So there's a couple of different variants on it. Players and staff based in Victoria got to be double vaccinated by November 26, and that's been mandated by the Victorian government. And then those in New South Wales need to be fully vaccinated by December 17. Then you go to West Australia, South Australia and Queensland, they've got to be fully vaccinated by Feb 18. How hard is it to try and get some sort of consensus when all of the state governments have got different deals in place?
Oh, yeah, it's not easy, but I think what we've tried to achieve here is, you know, let's get the dates where the players actually have to be vaccinated, and things could change between now and then. So, you know, we have agreed with the AFL that there's a review clause within this policy should things change. You know, I think where we started with the AFL on this was, you know, neither of us wanted to mandate vaccinations. We both understand it's a very individual decision. But at the end of the day, you know, right now there's no way that players can play in either competition if they're not vaccinated. Now, if things change, we'll have those conversations with the AFL at the right time, and we've got scope within the policy to do that.
So, Paddy Dangerfield, obviously the president of the Players Association, how pivotal was he, or how involved was he in these negotiations and discussions as well, Paul?
Without trying to downplay, you know, Paddy's role, I mean, Paddy's obviously on our board and he's got oversight of the discussions that we're having. But, you know, we've, you know, as an executive team, have worked through this with the AFL. Look, and Paddy's been really strong in his personal views on vaccinations, but also understands that there's players for different reasons who may have a different view on that. So it's like a lot of the issues we deal with, trying to, you know, corral for us, you know, 12 or 1300 players into a common policy is always challenging. But I think, as I said, where we landed, a fair outcome.
Are you concerned in any way, as a game concerned in any way, if a player is, or their contract is terminated in some way? I know that you've outlined that in the policy as to what will happen if you're not vaccinated, you can't play, that type of thing. Is there some concern that that may be legally challenged at some point?
Oh, look, I think ultimately that'll come down to whether individual players are in that position in the first place, and then if they are, you know, what their decisions might be. We sought legal advice on this issue more broadly, and I think that helped us determine where the policy would land. What we have negotiated with the AFL here is compensation for players who are in that position. So there is scope here for any player to sit down with their individual club and negotiate a salary. There's a base there of for the female players, 25% of their agreed salary. For the male players, 25% of the minimum. But there's an ability to negotiate up to their full salary. So, you know, that'll be something that any player in this position will work through with their club. And, you know, there's complexities around this because, you know, things could change in this space over the coming months, years. And I think we've built that into the policy that, you know, we may see a point where players don't have to be vaccinated to play in this competition.
So if you're a player, just looking at those four different points regarding a player's contract being terminated or stood down, if you're an AFL player, and you're on a contract of, say, $600,000 and you don't take the vaccination, you're not vaccinated, your contract gets terminated, is it as clear-cut as being paid out 25% of that $600,000?
Well, no, it's not. I mean, basically what we have secured here is for a player in that situation, they have to be paid 25% of the minimum AFL salary, but they can negotiate up to that $600,000 in your example. They can't be terminated before May the, I think it's 18th or 22nd. So there's scope here for, you know, things to change, for players to work through these issues. And, you know, I think probably a really important point here that we haven't touched on is, you know, we have done a really extensive consultation process with the players, and you know, we're looking at probably north of 99% of the players that are vaccinated at this point. So, you know, we've got some confidence that practically this isn't going to be a huge issue. But, you know, there's going to be a small number who are going to be working through the types of issues you're talking about.
Talking to Paul Maas, the AFLPA CEO, just before we let you go too, the collective bargaining agreement negotiation that's been ongoing, where are you with that? Is that moving ahead?
Yeah, well, you know, we're in a position where we do actually have a year to go on the CBA that we did back in 2017. So we have varied it the last 2 years for obvious reasons around COVID. We're in discussions with the AFL about what next year looks like. And, you know, I'd like to think we're not too far away from getting everything finalised. So that's a piece of work we're right in the thick of at the moment.
So do you think it'll go back to what it was and you'll actually play out the final year of that current CBA agreement, or do you think it will be renegotiated for the next 3 years?
I think it's probably going to end up being just a one-year deal. And I think, yeah, from our position, it should be, you know, what was agreed back in 2017. But as I said, we're just working through the details at the moment.
Paul, I understand how difficult that would be. Good luck with it all. AFLW, not too far away. AFL competition again in the new year. So thanks for jumping on and giving us some clarity on it this morning.
Pleasure, gents. Good chat.
Paul Marsh here for the all-new Kia electric SUV range, available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and full electric.